Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Melissa, would you help Carrie find her desk? The third grade teacher nodded toward the newest member of the class. She was standing by the teacher, a bright red backpack over her shoulders and a white cane in one hand.
Thank you, Mrs. Kelly. Carrie looked up brightly. But I can find it myself. Just tell me which row it's in and how many desks from the door.
Oh, my dear! Mrs. Kelly resisted the temptation to put her arms around Carrie and instead murmured, If you count three rows back, you'll find your own desk in the very first row near the door where you came in.
Thanks,
Carrie beamed, and proceeded to walk down the rows, tapping the desks in front of her until she found her seat. She squeezed into her chair, slid her backpack off her shoulders, and set it down on the floor next to her. In the seat adjoining hers, 9-year-old Melissa leaned over and patted her arm.
You sure can do a lot for someone who can't see.
Carrie smiled.
I've had lots of practice, she replied.
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about serious vision problems in children? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today has dedicated his working life to helping those who are blind or visually impaired develop their life skills and their professional skills for employment. Mr. Dale Otto has served as president and CEO of the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind since 1994. His leadership has resulted in tremendous growth for the CLB, including expanded programs and services, increased awareness, successful fundraising, and a 100% increase in annual revenue. Mr. Otto is dedicated to helping reduce the 70% national unemployment rate among blind working-age adults. He holds a bachelor's degree from St. Xavier College, a law degree from DePaul University in Chicago, and has taught business, law, and management courses at the college level. He's married and has twin teenage sons. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Mr. Otto.
Thank you, and appreciate you inviting me to be here today.
What would you say is the most important issue faced by children with serious vision problems?
I think the most important issue is really one of societal, and that is how you deal with the fact that you have a disability in what are really challenging times for any kids. I think the toughest thing, though, is feeling like you're accepted and dealing with this example of what was told in the story about Carrie. The expectations for a child with a disability of any kind are, it's like you're constantly proving yourself. And I always say that the bar sometimes is never high enough for what people expect. That teacher in that story expected the little girl not to be able to find her seat. And she did. And then the other girl, the first thing she said to her was something that she wouldn't have said to any other child. And even though she meant it complimentary, her first impression of that other child was simply to say, you know, you've done a lot for somebody who can't see. I always say that individuals who are blind or visually impaired, kids just want to have the same opportunities as other kids. Kids have the same experiences, the same frustrations. They're expanded, but they face the same challenges, and I think feeling accepted by other kids is probably a big challenge. And sometimes it's not as much what the kids think, but what their parents think. I can remember growing up and you'd be walking down the street with your cane and maybe a little younger kid would come up to you and say, you know, can you see?
Oh, dear.
And the parents would run, don't bother him. Like you were, they'd create a situation where you're almost some sort of a mystery or a monster or something. Don't bother that boy. You know, and all the kids wanted to do is they're curious. Children have a natural curiosity. And what I think successful programs that work with blind and visually impaired children do is they really give the kids the opportunities to experience what other kids do. And that way, when a child, for example, attends a summer camp, and let's say they go on field trips or play soccer, they can go back to school, and when their friends say, I played soccer in the summer, When the sighted child says that, the blind or visually impaired child can say the same thing. That's part of feeling accepted.
I think that we ought to note for our listeners that when someone asked you if you could see as a child, you are a person who couldn't see.
Right. That's true. I was born blind, and it was a much different time in terms of, I think, expectations and what schools did. And I was truly blessed to have two wonderful parents who were young and who understood that ultimately you had to be independent and succeed as an individual.
Which brings us to the next question. How should parents be supportive of kids whose vision is so limited?
That's a great question, because looking at it as a person who was born blind and looking at it as a parent who has kids, I think, what do we want as parents? We want our children to have a good life. We want them to succeed. We want them to be happy. We want to protect them. When you add into that the fact that a child is blind or visually impaired, the need and the desire to protect the child is probably overwhelming in a lot of cases. The challenge for parents, and many do it well, is first of all to find out what types of services, resources, support is available for the kid. To accept the fact that your child does have a disability and understand that that child needs to be able to succeed and take pride in themselves with that disability. In addition, it's important that you allow your child to take risks and that you allow your child to experience what other kids do. I see a lot of children, for example, who haven't necessarily acquired, say, some of the social skills that they need. Unfortunately, we're at a time now where maybe parents don't have as much time to spend with their kids. But you know what? When it comes to your children, you're all they have. You've got to be an advocate for your child, especially in educational settings. You have to be an advocate for your child because they can't be an advocate for themselves. It says to your child, I really care about you.
I'm recalling now, as you mentioned it, a PTA meeting. One of my children was in nursery school that was held at my house. It was must have been a committee meeting or something. And all the parents brought their children to this meeting. One of those children was a blind child in my son's class. And so I talked to the mother ahead of time, and I said, are you sure he'll be all right at my house? There are steps here and toys there and whatever. She said, oh, don't worry, I take him everywhere. When she came in the house with that child, she took him from room to room where she was going to be sitting, where the toys were, and where the children were going to be. And she walked him through, and he touched things, and he kind of felt things. And then she never bothered him again. And vice versa. He was less dependent on her during that morning of meetings than some of the other children who kept running in to find their mommies for various things. He just took care of himself. He played. He found the cookies. He really did wonderfully. And I thought, she has set up a system here to enable this child to be independent. And they worked well together.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's very true, because you have to have a system in place so that kids feel comfortable and you as the parent feel comfortable. And I think that the reality is we live in a sighted world. And so to me, you want your kids to understand what the general population is like, what they're going to expect. It's important. I remember a couple instances, think back in my own life. Last year, I happened to have a conversation with one of the people that was a neighbor of ours growing up. And I grew up in a pretty average neighborhood around Chicago. I mean, people had, you know, normal jobs. That's when people had jobs that you understood what they were. Somebody was a carpenter instead of being a systems analyst for some company that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was real curious, because as a child, I was able to go out and do things and play with other kids, and I didn't remember parents seeming to be overprotective of me. And I asked this woman, I said, you know, I came to your house as a child, and you always seemed comfortable with me there. And she said, well, your parents told us when, you know, you were probably moved into the neighborhood, I think it was about 6 or 7, that they wanted you to be treated just like any other child. And so, you know, we all had kids and we respected that. And I think that's something that parents need to do, because how many things are judged by appearance, vision? My kids joke that they're never going to talk me into buying a 57-inch TV. But parents need to set the tone, because as a society, we are very visual. And studies that I've looked at have said that the disability that people fear the most is loss of sight. So if you have a child who's blind and you're not comfortable with it, or you give the impression that you're not, how can you expect others to be?
Very important point.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on parenting children with serious vision problems.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Mr. Dale Otto, President and CEO of Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, about parenting children with serious vision problems.
Are there certain guidelines for setting up a home environment that you would recommend?
I guess you can look at it a couple of ways. On one hand, you don't want to, you know, as I said before, children are going to have to grow up in the real world, so to speak. Sometimes, you know, the home environment is going to be what it is depending on the size of the home. There's not necessarily any general rules. I would say that it depends that if a child has some sight, there are different colors that work better in terms of utilizing that sight. But if you are dealing with a child who's blind or visually impaired, for example, kids now learn to use a cane much earlier than they used to. So that helps, although, you know, whether they need a cane in their own house is questionable. But I would say that it's important that you familiarize your child with the home. And I think it's important that when the child is younger, that you make realistic decisions as you would with any other child, but understand that, you know, that this child can't see. For example, you wouldn't leave your, if you had a stairway going downstairs, you wouldn't leave your door open going to those stairs because you wouldn't want the child to fall down the stairs if they were little and they were sighted. Well, you obviously wouldn't hear either if the child doesn't know the stairs are there. So you want to encourage other kids, especially in the family. You know, it becomes sort of a good excuse to make kids pick up their toys. Organization is important. Having kids know where their things are, whether it be certain things go in certain drawers, it helps teach organization skills. Having a system where they can put their toys in a certain location, maybe having some sort of a cabinet or something that, you know, they know their toys not just go in there, but they can organize them in there the way they want and close it up. It's theirs. That'll help teach some good organization skills. One of the biggest things in the home environment, I really believe, is that you don't want to create a situation where your child feels that they're different. If you have expectations for activities that other children do in the family, child who's blind should also have responsibilities. They may be different, but it's not necessarily based on being blind. It's based on age or whatever, you know, whatever you ask kids to do. But I can remember dealing with families where it seemed like every child had certain responsibilities except the child who had a disability. That creates a level of separation. It says you're not the same as other kids. The other thing is it's important to make certain that there are, you know, like any kid, you want to find out what interests them and make sure you can get the resources that assist them. I can remember as a child, I loved to read. And you had to order books from the library that would come in Braille or recorded books, and they'd come in the mail. And I can remember how excited I was because whenever I got books, my mother would put them at the bottom of my bed, on the bed. And I can remember getting home from school, and I'd go in there, and I'd put my hand on the bed, and if there were books, I was always so excited. And I think the key is, though, you want your children to feel that they're growing up in a normal environment. They're going to experience the same things. They're going to want to play the same way. As you get older and you're in school, you face the same challenges, whether you have a disability or not, in terms of some of the same frustrations and social issues that go on. They're different. They're expanded.
What happens with a child's social life in this kind of setting? How can parents or siblings or friends or neighbors be helpful in that regard?
Well, again, it depends on the age of the child here. I think one of the most challenging times for any child is obviously as a teenager, and being a blind child, it's especially challenging. But we have become, as a society, I think kids are much more accepting than they used to be because they're much more aware of the diversity of society than we were when we were younger. One thing that's important is you need to encourage your child to develop the skills that will make them more confident and self-assured as a person. That means that if your child's in school, whether it be, you know, middle school, high school, or whatever, and wants to get involved with activities, don't discourage them. Because many times kids that have a disability are seen as good students. They might get good grades, but if you haven't acquired the social skills and the communication skills to go along with that, you really haven't progressed the way you should. Fortunately, there's a lot of groups, consumer groups and social groups that kids can get involved in that help.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on parenting children with serious vision problems.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Mr. Dale Otto, President and CEO of Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, about parenting children with serious vision problems.
What about a school setting? What would you recommend as an appropriate school setting with kids with such serious vision problems?
Well, if you can get your child into a school system that is going to be supportive, I believe there's tremendous value in mainstreaming because it gives the child a chance to experience life as it really is. But as a parent, this goes back to the question about being an advocate or the issue of being an advocate, which is so key. It's up to you. Your child can't do it. It's up to you to make sure that school offers programs and is going to give the level of support that your child is going to need. Now, we're talking to people all over the country here, some who are in big cities and some who are in small towns, some with very sophisticated school systems, and some where you might be the first parent bringing in a blind or visually impaired child to the school. One thing I'd encourage you to do is network with other parents. Mm-hmm. Talk to other parents uh-huh. about their experiences. Find out what's going on in other parts of the country. There may be programs that nobody in your area is familiar with that they haven't been involved with. Just because somebody's an educator doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
Good point.
In some schools, it's easy to just kind of leave the child in the back of the room, so to speak. You've got to fight for them to get the support they need. Let me give an example. One of the issues over the last 10 or 12 years has been the number of states that have passed Braille literacy bills, meaning that schools had to teach Braille to blind children. Now, some people who are listening to the show may say, well, why would you need to pass a bill to say that? Because back in about 1990, the percentage of blind children learning Braille had decreased to about 12%. The reason it had was because, number one, there weren't enough qualified teachers, and number two, teachers didn't want to do it. So they had to have legislation to force kids. Well, why is it important? Well, it's important because it's the form of literacy. It's important because while the unemployment rate, which you mentioned in the introduction to the program, which is very important to me, is so high among individuals who have a disability, among blind people, working age adults, the majority of blind people who are working read Braille. Mm-hmm. So there's a correlation between learning Braille and being successful in employment, having a job. So if you're not teaching kids Braille, what are you saying? And whenever I go out and speak to groups, and I speak to a lot of groups, I would always say to parents, imagine if your child came home from school and said, you know, they told me that they're not going to teach me how to write mm-hmm. because I've got a tape recorder or a computer, and everything I need I can do on there. I don't need to know how to write. You'd be outraged. Say, what kind of school is this? Well, that's what's happening to a lot of kids. They weren't learning Braille. They weren't learning communication skills.
Would you recommend some resources that parents could turn to?
There's a number of organizations, and if you went to our website, which is www.clb, that's clb as in boy, .org, we have links to a number of sites that I think could be of assistance. For example, there's an organization called the National Association of Parents of the Visually Impaired, which is obviously what it says, a lot of parents who have children who are visually impaired. You can go to either one of the national consumer groups, either the National Federation of the Blind or American Council of the Blind. They can give you information on not just children's services, but they have children's groups. Most of your local organizations that provide services to blind and visually impaired people have some type of children's program. So if you go to our website, you can link to a lot of these organizations. Again, that's clb.org. Or you can give us a call at 877-324-5252, and we can at least help to set you in the right direction.
Would you repeat that number?
Sure, please? It's 877-324-5252. And let me mention one other thing, because one other thing that's very important is technology. You're not going to have a job, you're not going to succeed in school if you don't have the technology skills to compete. That's true whether you're sighted or blind, and if you're blind, it's even more key. Now, schools may do a good job of making sure your kid gets equipment, but you know what? Equipment that you're not trained on isn't any better than no equipment at all. So if I leave you with one point today, it would be an advocate for your child and make sure that your child is getting the level of equipment and support that any other child is getting in your school system.
Well, with that, we unfortunately have to close this discussion, but what a tremendous advocate you have been for parents who are trying very, very hard to do the best they can for a child who has vision problems or for a neighbor or for a student. So we are very grateful, Mr. Dale Otto, that you could be here with us today.
Thanks for having me, and we've all got each other.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and your mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573. And mention show number 238. Tell us if you can what station you are listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our special appreciation to the Zickler Family Foundation for its generous donation, dedicating this show in loving memory of Sandy Seidel. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.